appreciate you taking the time to do that. The United Methodist Men are sponsoring a family night out for a Tennessee Smokies baseball game. It's always a fun outing. That will be Friday, July the 13th. The deadline for reservations for that is July the 9th. You will have a special treat next Sunday. Our district superintendent, Jason Gaddis, will be preaching at both the 10 o'clock and the 11:15 services, and our own Kevin Tooth Terry will be preaching at the 8:30 service. Dave and I will be spending some time with my family in Richmond, so I wish I could be here to hear those folks speaking, but I think it will be a good opportunity if you have not met Jason and his family to be able to do that as well. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
In addition to Eachin and Velma this morning, our special music, it's a pleasure to welcome Gail back. Those of you that know Gail is an audience here for, 300 or 400 years. It's great to have her back with us this morning. Let's stand and sing her call to worship. I'll probably pay for that.
We walk with the Lord in
As we come to our time of prayer this morning, please be in prayer for Alan Laser and his family in the passing of his mother-in-law, Sue Tull, this week. Also prayers for Anita Ward and family in the passing of her half-brother, Adam, and for Mark Sheridan and family in the passing of his mother. Mark's sister-in-law is also recovering from major surgery at Vanderbilt. Prayers also for Gene Pafford, who suffered a heart attack this week and will have upcoming triple bypass surgery early this coming week. Continued prayers for our trio of folks who are still at Morning View. Jim Warren, Francis Webb, and Sandy Kiefteller are continuing to recover at Morning View. Prayers also for Pastor Laura's father, Gene Racer, whose cancer treatments are not working and they're reaching the end of options. We do have one praise to lift up this morning from Matt and Camille Klein in the birth of their son on June 30, Colter Hawkins Klein. Are there unspoken prayer concerns that you have this morning? If there are, you will please lift your hand. Please know that God will hear, that God will understand those prayers.
Let us pray. Precious God, trusting you does not always come easy for us. When each day we are faced with ugliness in our world, sometimes we have a hard time believing that love conquers fear. Sometimes we are not convinced that power comes through weakness. And we cannot conceive how you could heal us. We pray that you would forgive our lack of faith and renew our trust in you. We pray for our world that is groaning with the weight of suffering and fears. We pray for the rulers of all the nations that need your wisdom. We pray for your church in times when it is divided. And we pray for peace and for unity among your people. Your children suffer, Lord. They are hungry and can find no rest. We ask prayers for those who are poor, for those who have no homes. We pray for those who are sick, for those who are dying, for those who are struggling with addiction, for those who are trying to find hope. And we pray for your healing and for your peace. At times our hearts are troubled, Lord, and we pray that you would guide us to find our rest always in you. And we give you thanks that you are faithful, that your love never ends. And we pray that you would gather our prayers and conform them to your will. We have prayers that we speak out loud, but also ones that lie deep in our hearts. And we just take some quiet time, Lord, to have an opportunity for each one of us to lift our prayers to you. In the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Now I invite our ushers to come forward as we receive this morning's offering. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you for your many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. As we receive these gifts, we pray that you would guide us in their use. Help us to bring hope and promise and possibilities in our church and this community and all throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These words from Psalm 130. Hear the word of God. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, be present with us in the preaching of your word, that we may hear among these words and our own reflections your word offered for us this day. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever watched for the morning? The royal wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle took me back to 1981 when my family and I were spending the summer in England at the time of Charles and Diana's wedding. We spent the night lined up with thousands of other folks on the street so that we could watch the procession of royals and dignitaries go by in their carriages on their way to St. Paul's Cathedral. It was a long night, and basically we were in the middle of a street party going on all around us. When the sun started to rise, there was this shift that happened. Even though there were still several hours left of waiting, the light of the new day heightened the excitement and the anticipation for what was about to happen. Something happens when that morning comes. I battle insomnia from time to time, and after a restless night of tossing and turning, I always feel better when the morning comes. I don't have to toss and turn anymore. I get up, I start a new day. In our psalm for today, Psalm 130, the psalmist speaks of watching for the morning. And he speaks of someone who's had a rough night. His cry comes from out of the depths. By the times, the depths often referred to the depths of the sea. That was seen as the scariest place there was. There were thought to be monsters in the sea. Think about Jonah in the belly of a whale. The sea brought storms and waves. The profoundest, the chaotic forces that confront human life with destruction and desolation and death. And the depths that the psalmist is dealing with comes from his own sinfulness, he admits. He is looking to God to bring him out of the depths of his own failure, of his own limitations, of his own struggles. Most of us, I would imagine, know those kinds of depths. Jerome Creech speaks of visiting the chapel of the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. There are some Marc Chagall stained glass windows in that chapel. But also the floor of the chapel is sunken in the middle. And in the center of that depressed area is a pulpit. And when Jerome asked about the design and why that was the case, the tour guide shared that the belief was that all prayer should be offered out of the depths. What is giving the psalmist hope as he cries out from his depths is remembering the character of the one to whom he is crying out. Even though his crisis comes from his own doing, he trusts that God will bring him relief. This is something quite amazing about God. God is the judge of all things. God has the power to bring God's wrath unto all things. God is the one who has the authority over all. And yet, God chooses not to use that power to strike us down. it's not the way God operates. And perhaps we need to remind ourselves of God's way of operation as we look at those around us. Whenever we're tempted to write someone off, whenever we stop listening, whenever we feel our hearts stirred with anger, whenever we stray into our own self-righteousness and judgmentalism, perhaps we need to remember how God goes about dealing with those kinds of challenges. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? If God were to keep a list of our foibles and our failures, who could stand before God to even have a chance to plead a case? None of us. None of us. God confronts our sin with the power not of judgment, but with the power of forgiveness. God addresses our failures with grace. God is disposed to forgive. So think about what that means for us in the midst of our dark and restless nights. It means none of us have strayed too far to be able to find our way back. It means no one we love is beyond redemption. It means even our enemies are not beyond redemption. It means there's always hope, always a new beginning, always a new day. And what we're hoping for and looking for offers even more than just a new day. The psalmist talks about waiting for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. It's like he's referring to the ancient watchmen, those who would stand on the walls that surrounded their city and stay alert in the event of an enemy invasion. These soldiers served the original night shift. The fate of the village rested on that watchman's shoulders. If he dozed or if he got distracted, enemy forces could find their way in. And that watchman, too, watched for nothing more closely than for the morning to come, because the rising of the sun would mean that his mission had been accomplished for another night. That he had kept the village safe for another night, and that he could now rest. The psalmist reminds us that what God offers brings even more than that. We can watch for the morning with hope and assurance and anticipation because we know the one who is bringing the morning itself. God not only brings the morning, God owns the morning. God will do more than save the day. God will save us. God offers more than one new day. God offers a new life. And sometimes it is the depths itself that provide that path for redemption, at least when God is involved. Think about the story of the Exodus. As the people of Israel fled from Pharaoh, they had to face their deepest fears when they found themselves standing on the edge of the sea. In front of them were those very depths that they feared so much, the chaotic forces of the sea. But through the power and grace of God, God made the very depths of the sea as a way for the redeemed to cross over. God made a way where there was no way. So what does it look like to wait for the Lord? As we think about that night watchman, this is not a passive kind of waiting. This is not just sitting back and waiting on God to do something. The night watchman had to tune more than just his eyes, because because of the dark, his eyes actually didn't help him very much. The night watchman had to tune his ears. He had to listen and pay attention at a deeper level. He had to make himself ready to hear when he couldn't really see. We're not really very good at waiting, are we? Think about how much we rush. We rush to do, we rush to fix, we rush to decide, we rush to act, we rush to judge. Maybe sometimes we would do better to wait. To wait and watch for God. And especially to remember who it is and what we are waiting for. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we are grateful knowing that in the midst of whatever night we face, whatever darkness lies before us or around us, whatever depths we find ourselves in the midst of, both those things that come because of our own failure and sinfulness, and those things that we don't even know how to get a hold of. We are grateful knowing that we have you to watch for and to look for and to trust in. Help us to tune our hearts and our ears and our eyes and our whole selves to the power of your morning light as it can break into our lives and into our hearts and as it can break even into our world. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to stand as we sing together hymn number 534. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. When we break this bread, it is a way that we share together in the body of Christ. When we give thanks over this cup, it is a way that we share together in the blood of Christ. I invite those who are assisting to come forward as we prepare to receive communion. We will receive by intinction, which means you will be given a piece of bread that you can then dip into the cup. We do have gluten-free wheat wafers available. If you need those, just signal that to those who are serving, and we'll be happy to serve you those. If you need to be served where you are seated, if you will just signal to the ushers as they come by, and we'll be very happy to come and serve you there. We'll just have the stations up here at the front, so the ushers will direct you down the center aisle, and then you will depart by the side aisle. As you come forward, remember what is offered, the character of the one who brings this gift of life in the midst of our brokenness. Come and receive that blessing. Amen. You to stand as we sing together our closing hymn, O God, our help in ages past. peace. And remember, the word you brings the morning, the light, the hope, the promise. Go in that knowledge and go in that peace. Amen.